invite you to be with me in prayer. Loving God, as we are reminded that you see us, help us to see you. Help us to hear your wisdom and word in the midst of what I offer this day. May we have hearts and minds and eyes open to receive it, to receive you. Amen. The story of Zacchaeus is a familiar one. I think mostly because of the little children's song that so many people know. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. And from the lyrics of that little song that many of us learned in Sunday school, I think I went most of my life believing that the story of Zacchaeus was a sweet little Bible story about a man who was so unfortunately short that he was about to miss the entrance of Jesus into Jericho because even on his tiptoes, he was staring at the back of people's heads, the crowd around him who had gathered to meet Jesus. So Zacchaeus, being the resourceful, scrappy little guy that he was, earnestly climbed up to the top of a sycamore tree so that he could catch a glimpse of Christ. And of course, Christ sees him because he's teetering at the top of a tree, and he recognizes his effort, and he takes pity on him, and he invites himself over for dinner. And I guess some of that basic plot line is true. Zacchaeus was short. The scripture makes specific note of it. And he was resourceful and scrappy, and he did climb to the top of a tree, and he did end up having dinner with Jesus. But how we get to that table is a little different, a little less sweet. Because the truth is, Zacchaeus' story is about claiming one's mistakes. This is a story about the power of repentance and restoration and salvation. It's a story about being seen for who one truly is and how terrifying and freeing that can be. This is a story about Jesus who, in the very important and profound verse that concludes this text, tells us that he has come to seek and to save the lost. And seek and save he does because Zacchaeus is not just a wee little man from a children's song. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, a chief tax collector. Now, just as Reverend Dale referenced in his sermon last week, in those days, in that culture, the tax collectors were not popular folk. They had a bad reputation. For one thing, they were working for the enemy, the Romans. But beyond that, the tax collectors had a fairly well-deserved reputation for being dishonest, for overcharging, for skimming money off the top to line their own pockets. So besides being looked down upon, literally, for being short, Zacchaeus was also looked down upon for being a bit of a crook, a tax collector, a notorious sinner. So why, knowing all of that, is Zacchaeus so eager to see Jesus? Was he eager to see Jesus? Was it curiosity that drove him up the tree? Was he trying to be seen? Or was he trying to not be seen? The verses preceding our story this morning makes me think that perhaps Zacchaeus' motivation went a bit beyond just trying to get a better view. You see, Luke tells us about another man that Jesus encountered that day on the outskirts of Jericho. This man happened to be a blind beggar sitting by the road, and when he heard that Jesus was coming, he shouted out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He knew that Jesus could make a difference in his life, and that's why he sought the attention of Christ. And maybe it's that same longing that drove Zacchaeus up a tree. Maybe he was as lonely as he was wealthy. Rich in money, sure, but poor in friends. And maybe he had heard that this Jesus had gained a reputation for being a friend to sinners and tax collectors. And so he figured he would take a shot, go out on a limb, literally, scope out the situation at the top of the sycamore tree. But just as our prayer of confession reminds us today, it is when we are trying to keep a low profile, even at the top of a tree, that Christ seeks us out. You see, the smaller and more invisible we wish to become, for whatever reason, shame, fear, guilt, insecurity, the more Christ sees us. And that's exactly what Jesus does. In a crowd of what I imagine to be thousands of curious, desperate, faithful people, Jesus looks up and says, "Zacchaeus, hurry and get down. You're having me over for dinner." And so despite the fact that Zacchaeus was perhaps trying to stay out of Jesus' line of vision, the text tells us that he gladly, even joyfully, climbs down and accepts Christ's backwards invitation to eat at his home. But I also imagine that Zacchaeus was feeling a little bit nervous. How could he not be? My guess is that Zacchaeus knew he was not the most popular person in town. He knew he lived a dishonest life. It's sort of like when you're a kid and you did something wrong, but your parents haven't found out yet, and you're just upstairs in your room, and you think maybe God has smiled upon you and they're not going to find out. Maybe you got away with it. And then you hear your mom yell, "Adelaide, could you come down here, please?" Ugh. I can't imagine that Zacchaeus did not have a pit in his stomach when he heard Christ say his name. I can't imagine he didn't have that sinking feeling at the thought of not just seeing Christ, but eating with him in his home. He was going to be found out. And surely the crowd was not happy that of all the people gathered, Christ was investing time in this tax collector. But the best part about Jesus is that he does. Jesus likes to hang out with the people that nobody else wants to hang out with. And not just the ones who were on the margins because of people like Zacchaeus, but Zacchaeus himself. I'm always struck that Jesus invites himself over for dinner. Now, it's not so surprising that he invites himself, but more so that he feels he needs to share a meal with Zacchaeus, that he wants to enter his home and break bread with him. Jesus is no stranger to healing and preaching and saving alongside the road and underneath trees, on the go, wherever the people are. So it's a little different that he would practically insist on coming to Zacchaeus' home. But Jesus knew, just as we people of faith know, the power of the table and time spent around it. My favorite part of this story and the most powerful takeaway isn't a line from a catchy song. It isn't even Jesus' redemptive power in Zacchaeus' life, as profound as that may be. My favorite part is imagining Zacchaeus' table. It is the fact that when we feel we need to climb a tree, either to make ourselves look bigger or smaller, or to hide from whatever's happening on the ground, Christ still sees us. Not to scold us or publicly shame us, but just to sit at a table with us. Not to call us out, but to call us in. Zacchaeus sits at the table and surrenders, saying, "Behold, Lord, I have messed up. Take half of my goods and give them to the poor, and if I've stolen or cheated or frauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." This is a story of hunger and need and fragility and humanity and confession and salvation and freedom. The story of Zacchaeus is the story of repentance. And the joy of this story is not just finding forgiveness in Christ, but about being found. It's the joy of being seen and recognized and called by name. Zacchaeus realized his need for forgiveness, his need for some quality time with Christ, his need for a wake-up call and a time out. And in some sense, we do too, don't we? Because I believe that's why many of us made our way to church this morning, and why we come back week after week. Because we want to connect. Because we want to sit at the table with Christ and lay it all out. Because we need to be reminded of forgiveness and the reassurance of Christ's grace. I wonder how many of us will leave here humming that children's song that I started with. And you know, the first line of that song as I sang it, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee, W-E-E, as in small. But let's rephrase it and make it Zacchaeus was a wee little man, W-E, as in all of us. Because though he was a dishonest and disliked tax collector at the top of a tree in Jericho thousands of years ago, Zacchaeus is a lot like we are, you and I. He was a human who was being weighed down by greed, by a love of the wrong things, by responsibility, by selfishness, by reputation, perhaps by fear, and definitely by a load of guilt, just like we are. I wonder, though, in times like these, when the world is the way that it is, how can we be a people who, instead of living out of those places of fear and scarcity, can live our lives more deeply in alignment with the God who sees, with the God whose economy is one of grace, one where there is enough at this table from which each of us might partake, where rich and poor and strong and weak and all of us in between are invited to come down from our trees or rise up from the seats and find ourselves together at one banquet table with God of all things, who in Christ extends the grace that sees us. My friends, as you go about your lives, as you notice the ways you're climbing the trees of shame and guilt and condemnation and insecurity, trying to dodge Christ's glances or God's nudge, may we work and pray to be a people who open our hearts to be seen by this grace and this love of God in Christ. And as we are seen, may we then be a people who see one another, who call others down and draw others out, who seek to be the church on the ground, to join with others in shining light in dark places, in doing good for Christ's sake, and in loving the same way Jesus has loved, making real a kingdom with grace enough for everyone. Jesus told Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house, to this table." Salvation comes when we least expect it, to those we least expect. Salvation comes where Jesus goes, and Jesus goes everywhere. Salvation comes where Jesus sits. And so even today, this day, Jesus has come to this house. Jesus has come to our table, and just like Zacchaeus, we receive Christ nervously, but joyfully. The joy of Zacchaeus is ours as well. And the good news this day is that no matter how tall or how little this world has made you feel, no matter how rich or poor, liked or disliked, whether you're up a tree or out on a limb, you are invited to the table, the place where we can allow ourselves to be seen and heard and nourished, where we allow someone else, Christ, to meet our need, our sin, our humanity, with a bottomless portion of grace. Grace for today, grace for tomorrow, there is enough to go around. For the Son of Man came to seek and to sit with and to save and to see the lost. May it be so in our lives. Amen.